Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
The first topic that Paul picked up when he was telling Timothy how to do church, and consequently telling us how to do church, is he's telling us that we need to be people that pray. I mean, prayer should be a major priority in our life. We should be people that pray. We should also be people that answer our cell phones, but not during church. We need to be people that pray. Prayer should be a major priority. In fact, the way Paul words it, you probably could make a very great case to say prayer should be the most important thing we do as individuals and as a church. Prayer should be a priority. Now, through the years, as I have sat and thought about prayer and thought about life and walking with Christ and, you know, just kind of tried to sort things out, What I've come to the conclusion of is that there's really kind of two kinds of prayer. There's two MOs of prayer. Maybe you've thought about this too, but I seem to see in Scripture kind of two ways to tackle this thing. And it's not that it's an either or thing. It's supposed to be a both and thing. Here's basically what I see. There's praying as you go. This is what my dad used to talk about. He'd say, you need to just pray as you go. You remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be people who pray without ceasing. What in the world does that mean? Pray without ceasing. You know that Greek word, without ceasing? In another passage, it's used to refer to a hacking cough. You know, sometimes you'll see people right now that have that hacking cough, you know, and it's like they're just coughing, and it may be for a day or two. It's like, you know, every, you know, 15, 20 seconds, a minute or two, they're coughing. They're coughing without ceasing. That's what prayer is supposed to be like. So you're supposed to pray as you go. And you know, I'll bet a lot of us do pretty well at that. As I understand what the Bible teaches and I think about it, I think this is probably one area where I'm pretty good. Now, I talk to God a lot. I also talk to myself a lot, you know, and then I talk to you guys a lot. Of course, you guys aren't there and you don't know that you're losing this argument with me, but, you know, I talk a lot, you know, and Vicki will say, man, your mind's just always talking. And it is, and quite frankly, a lot of times, I'm talking to God. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I'm clueless, Lord. I think that's this praying as you go that my dad used to talk about. I remember when, you know, our kids were all very small and you know, Vicki was very stretched and all that stuff. My dad would, you know, and she was like, oh, you know, I just don't have that time to spend, you know, studying and praying and all that because I can't even, you know, do anything without some kid pulling on me or asking me some question or whatever. And he'd say, you just pray as you go. You pray while you do those dishes. You pray while you clean that table. You pray as you fold that laundry. And so that's, I think, part of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to pray as we go. Here's another thing. We're supposed to go and pray. I mean, Jesus did talk about going in the closet and praying. And I'm sure most of you saw the movie War Room. I mean, it was a great movie that kind of illustrated this principle. Okay, you pray as you go, you pray as you drive, you pray as you do your task, you pray as you fold the laundry, you pray as you know, you're dealing with that situation. But Scripture also is really clear that we're supposed to go and get ourselves into a private place where there's no interruptions, and we pray. And we pour our hearts out to God, and we tell God what we're thinking and what we're feeling and all of that stuff. And, some of us might be really, really good at that, but I'll bet a lot of us probably are not that good at it. Because a couple minutes is just like an eternity. It's like, whoa, what do I talk about now? And all that stuff. I mean, maybe you're really good at that. And you will go into your little prayer closet, wherever that is. And you'll spend a lot of time and you just leave because you gotta leave. I mean, you got an appointment that you gotta keep, and so it's like, okay, I'm out of here. I gotta leave. But many of us probably are not like that. We're pretty good at the pray as you go, but we're not so good at the go and pray. Now, like I said, I mean, it's not one or the other. I mean, it'd be real easy for me to sit and say, okay, I'm not so good at the closet thing. I don't go in the closet. But, hey, I pray as I go, and so I'm good to go on this prayer thing. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think we need to be both and. And if anything, this passage that we're talking about here, you get the impression, if anything, it's going to fall in that second little category, the go and pray. Because I think what Paul is saying here is we really need to be people who are praying. It's not just turning on the news and seeing a flash of President Obama and saying, oh, okay, got to pray for him, and there's, 7 seconds invested in prayer for President Obama and then we're good to go. I think probably Paul has in mind, this is not the prayer without ceasing, the praying as you go. This is when you've got that time set aside praying, this passage kind of applies to that as well. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk for a couple minutes out of this passage about how prayer is a priority, how it should be a priority. And then what I want to do is I want to take a couple minutes to just share with you some things about how to make it more of a priority. And then we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to pray. And then we're going to spend some time worshiping in response, and then we're done. So that's where we're going for the next 45 minutes or so. But let's look at this passage. But, before we do, whenever I think about prayer, I always think of this great story and, laugh hard at the end of this because this is the only joke I'm telling today. But anyway, there was this church. This is a church similar to ours, and it was kind of in a developing area, of the city. And lo and behold, right next door to them, someone bought the lot and decided they were going to put up a bar. And, it was a popular bar. And the church people were just like, we don't want that thing right there. I mean, here we've got this nice little church, with our steeple. And, we're hoping to have a graveyard out back someday and all that good stuff. And here's this guy building a bar next to us. And so they were just outraged. And they went to the city council, and the city council said, nope, it's zoned commercial. Anyone can build it, and that's fine. And, and the guy got the permit, and he built it. And the church people were just really ticked off that here's a bar right next to it. And, what are the kids going to think? And what are we going to think? And all that good stuff. And they'd come on Sunday mornings and there'd be beer cans and beer bottles all over their yard. And there'd be broken glass out in the parking lot because it was a popular bar and lots of people liked to go to that bar. And it was doing a better business than the church was doing. And it was just this agitation. And then finally, someone said, maybe we ought to pray about this situation. And, they all said, Shazam, maybe we should. And so they all started praying about this bar situation. What are we going to do about this bar next door? And, well, we, We don't even want the place in business, let alone next to us. So they prayed that God would just do something. And I mean, they got so bold, it was on their prayer list, and you know, they'd regularly talk about it. And you know, as I pick up those beer cans, I pray that God will just shut that place down and all that good stuff. And it just went on and on and on for several months. Well, lo and behold, there was a lightning storm. And guess what happened? The bar got struck by lightning and the place burned to the ground. And, you know, it is 2016. What did the bar owner do? He sued the church. I mean, after all, I mean, this is America. And these people were praying for my bar to be closed up and it got struck by lightning and I want my fair share. And of course, how did the church people respond? They were like, you gotta be kidding. All we did was pray. Come on. And, you know, the thing went to court. And the bar owner, he hired a pretty good lawyer, and the church, you know, they hired a good lawyer, and these guys were arguing, and that lawyer for the bar, he was a little better than the lawyer for the church, because he, you know, he had done some research, and you know, you can always find them, some disgruntled people that had left the church, and they were willing to testify, yeah, I remember the preacher saying, pray for the bar to close down, pray for this and that. They even found prayer lists that had the bar listed and entered them into evidence and all this stuff. And you know, then when the church made their defense, they were like, no, come on, you know, Your Honor, we prayed. And, you know, and then they rested their case. And, you know, it's interesting what the judge said. He said, I don't really know how this thing's going to turn out. But let me tell you, one thing I do know for sure. The bar owner believes in the power of prayer, and the people in the church don't. You know, sometimes that's probably too true, isn't it? Because here's the deal. If we really and truly believed in the power of prayer, we'd probably pray a lot more. Listen to this. This is by a guy named Hebert. He's a commentator from a couple generations ago. He said, the practice of prayer cannot be forced by an outward command, but must be prompted by an inner conviction of its importance and need. Truth of the matter is, you know, I can guilt trip you. You can read scripture and get those commands. And you might pray a little bit more. I might pray a little bit more. I certainly have prayed more since I've been working on this sermon. But you know, in a few weeks, we'll get back to normal. You know what's really going to help us become people that pray? It is a deep down belief in the power of prayer. Until I have the conviction, until you have the conviction that this is really how God works, or a conduit through how God works, we're not going to be people that pray. He's right. So look at the passage. What I want to do is first just talk through it here, because what this passage talks about is the priority of prayer. He says in verse 1, he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. You know, he uses three different words there for prayer. And most people think that really and truly he's just piling it up. It's not that each one of them is focusing on a different aspect of prayer. It is just he's saying you guys need to pray a lot. Entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving. You know, maybe one-fourth of our prayer should be thanksgiving. I don't know if that was part of his rationale or not. Be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We are to be people that pray. And we're not just praying for me, myself, and I. We're not just praying for our little thing, we're praying for the leaders. Why? in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We're praying for the good life. We're praying that they will make decisions that make our life better so that we can have that peaceful and tranquil, quiet life. And you're saying, well, that is kind of what I do. I mean, I'm always praying that God will work things out and make things prosper. And, you know, I want that raise. I want that thing. I want my heater to last for 40 years. I don't want my roof to go out until I sell it to someone and all that stuff. You know, and I'm always praying for the good life. But notice what he says there in verse 3. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Oh, good. See, I knew it was good to pray for my good life. But, look at verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, I'm praying for this good life, not because God really wants me to have a soft nest. I'm praying for this good life, not because God wants me to live a stress-free life. I'm praying for this good life so that people would get saved. Because that's what God really desires. Now, actually, next week, we're going to tear into verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And because there's just a ton of theology and a ton of meat there. Today, I just want to keep the total focus on prayer. But just before I leave that with just one little detail about this. Isn't it interesting? Paul says, pray that you'll have the good life. Because through the good life, people can get saved. God can draw people to himself. Because that's really what God wants, is for all to come to repentance. There's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I find this really, really fascinating. And I want you to think about it. And maybe this is one of the things you can kind of meditate on between now and next week when we really deal with it in depth. But see, a lot of times when people are observing our life, you know what really gets their attention? It's when we go through crisis. I mean, we lose our job, we lose our health, maybe someone in our family dies, someone in our family has some tragedy happen, and if we handle it properly, it's like that really gets the attention of unbelievers or believers that aren't really walking with the Lord that well. But isn't it fascinating that in a way, Paul is saying, you know what? How you handle the good life. Pray for the good life, because if you'll handle the good life well, that will get people's attention. Do you see the difference? It's kind of another side of the coin. And I'm just asking the question, then I'm going to move on. Could it be that we have mismanaged the good lives that God gives us? And that's why people don't come to know Christ as our Savior? We've maybe mismanaged our prosperity. We've mismanaged our great health. We've mismanaged all these wonderful opportunities. Because reality tells you. I mean, you want to get people's attention? Have cancer and handle it in a godly way. Boy, when you go through a crisis, everyone wants to know about your relationship with Christ. When you have a son or a daughter that really blows it spiritually and you handle it well, everyone wants to know, man, look at how he or she is walking with the Lord through that crisis. I kind of get the impression out of this passage, it should be, wow, look at how good their life is and how well they're handling it. I want to know about their relationship with God. Do you see that? Back to the main topic. We're supposed to be people who pray. First of all, most importantly, I want you to pray. I want entreaties. I want petitions. I want lots of thanksgiving to be made for everyone, especially for those in authority, so that you can have that good life. Because through that good life, being handling it really well, God can bring people to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he goes off, you know, for several verses talking some great theology, which we'll deal with next week. But look down at verse 8. Therefore, since prayer is supposed to be the number one priority, therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And likewise, I want women to do this stuff. And it's kind of interesting. He gets into, you know, how they dress and things like that, and even how much they talk and all that stuff. And here's the thing that I find fascinating. I think here's the deal. The men, he wanted them to lift up their holy hands. Maybe it's like, guys, I mean, what happens when you lift up your holy hands? You know, if you do it literally, you feel very exposed. You feel vulnerable. I mean, you know, cool guys don't do this, unless it's cool to do this. But in most circles, it's not cool to do it, except, you know, in a few different churches. But generally speaking, it's only cool to do this when the Cowboys win, or, you know, some weird people like the Broncos winning, or, you know, whoever winning. You know, we'll do that. But will we do that for God? No, us guys, we're too cool. We got it under control. You know, we just need to do a little three-sentence, bow our heads, quick prayer to God, and get back to business, because we have it all under control. And he's saying, guys, get real. You need to be men and men who pray. And I think the same thing, you know, in 3 weeks when we deal with verses 9 down to verse 15, you know, some very, very hard verses to sort through, because, I mean, there's just tons of landmines there to figure out. Basically, he's saying, women, ladies, your focus has gotten off of prayer. In the same way that the guys are supposed to pray, you're supposed to be people that pray. Your emphasis is not supposed to be on this or this or this or this or this. It's supposed to be on prayer. So here's the bottom line. This passage, even though it's just filled with tons of little theological and interpretive landmines, the basic message is this. We're supposed to be people that pray. You know, I'll put some stuff up on the screen if you just want to summarize what we just saw here. Prayer is the most important service that the Church of Christ can engage in. That's what Hebert said. Pray a lot for everyone, especially authorities. Pray for the good life so that people will get saved. So the bottom line is, we're supposed to be people that pray. You cannot see this passage in any other way other than telling us we need to be people who pray. Prayer needs to be our number one priority. That's the priority of prayer. Let me just talk to you for a minute about making prayer a priority. You might want to jot down some of these things. Just through the years, as I've sat and thought about this, you know what it really, in a way, boils down to? It's kind of the Nike thing. You just got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, that first quote that I mentioned, I mean, you know, you got to believe in this stuff. And quite frankly, we probably don't believe in it as much as we should. But whether you believe in it or not, you just need to pray. I mean, you know, I got real lucky back in September. I found out that I have a herniated disc in my back, and so I don't have to exercise as regularly as I used to. And, you know, I appreciated that phone call from the doctor, and, you know, but the problem was he said, just give it 3-4 weeks and then get back to your exercise. Well, it's been 3 or 4 months, and I'm just now starting to get back to my exercise. And I'll tell you what, a second cup of coffee is a lot better than push-ups. and curls and bench presses and all that stuff. I mean, you know, snuggling with my warm wife is far better than doing push-ups. I mean, what do you got to do to exercise? You got to do it. Now, I want to do it because, you know, yesterday would have been my mom's 95th birthday. I'd kind of like to get to 95 myself, but I ain't going to get there being a slug. You know, you just got to do it. Do I believe in exercise? Yeah. Do I know that now because you got a herniated disc, you got to modify just how you do it. You know, now I've got an excuse not to help you move, you know, but the whole thing, that was supposed to be another joke there. But, except when you're moving, you'll say he can help everyone else move, but you know what I'm saying. Here's the deal. You just got to do it. You got to do it. Now, with that said, let me give you some specifics here, okay? I talked about how there's pray as you go and there's go and pray. Here's a couple things I've found about pray as you go. You got to have some reminders built into your day. You got to have some reminders. I mean, you know, maybe it's that framed verse. Maybe it's that little plaque. Maybe it's, a Bible sitting at your desk, or maybe it's something from the church that reminds you, or some other ministry that reminds you. But if you go for hours without thinking about God or spiritual things or kingdom ministry, I mean, you're not going to probably be praying as you go. You're not going to be praying without ceasing. Now get cancer or have your spouse die or one of your kids go wayward, you'll probably pray without ceasing, at least until that crisis gets solved. But he didn't just say pray without ceasing while you're battling the crisis. He said pray without ceasing all the time. And I need reminders. I need things in my life to say, okay, God's involved. And so if you don't have some things in your life that remind you, you might want to put some in. And after a while, you got to change those because we all get accustomed to our little reminders. You might need to change that plaque. I remember Vicki and I went to a conference, and the speaker was a guy named Ray Ortland. And he had a ring similar to mine. And he said what he would do is he would turn it around so that when he clenched his fist, he would feel it. And it's like, oh. And they would remind him to pray. You know, just 30 seconds, 10 seconds, you know. Check in with God. You need to pray as you go. And you really need to hold yourself accountable on this thing. I mean, you know, I can sit and say, I pray as I go all the time. Because like I said, you know, maybe you're not like this, but I'm like this. I'm a talker in my head. I mean, literally, I'm always talking in my head. And I'm either talking to God, or I'm talking to myself, or I'm talking to someone else that I'm discussing something with. And I always win those arguments, by the way. And here's the deal. I can sit and say, oh, I pray all the time. But if I sit and look at it, it's like, no, I've just mostly been strategizing as to how I'm going to have that conversation. And I need to really be honest with myself, hold myself accountable. Was I really praying as I went? Was I really praying without ceasing? Are you? I mean, if you were to answer that question, how would you answer it? Yeah, I'm good at that, or I bad at that? We all can improve, but really, where are you on that? Here's the last one. Just on this one, build in some prayer times. And here's what I mean, okay? Most of us, we pray before we eat. Even if we go out to dinner, we pray before we eat. You know, you're eating lunch with someone, you pray. And, you know, maybe you're comfortable doing that. Maybe you're not comfortable doing that. But generally speaking, a lot of people pray before they eat. Build some other times of prayer in. One of the things we do, we pray before we leave the house in the morning. You know, I mean, it might be 45 seconds, but, you know, we're all about to leave, to go to school, to go to work, to go wherever. And we'll take a minute. It's like we're not leaving until we all get together and stand there and we pray. We pray before we go on a trip. We pray before one of the kids goes to Chicago or Little Rock or Dallas or wherever they live now. You know, I mean, we have those times in there. One of the things, you know, you do when your kids are really small is you go pray with them before they go to bed. I mean, there's nothing telling you that, you know, you can't pray with them when they're teenagers. You can't pray with them when they're older elementary. You know, we slip out of that, but build in those times of prayer. I mean, you know, one of the good things about a herniated disc is, you know, now I'm not exercising, so I go have that second cup of coffee sitting on the bed with Vicky. You know, and before then we get out and get going to the shower and, you know, the race is on. We'll take, you know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes just to hold hands and pray. I mean, that's kind of that praying as you go. Now, you know, none of those things may work for you, but there is something that'll work for you. Build in some times into your schedule to pray. We're not talking 15, 20 minutes here on these. We're just talking a quick check in with God, give it to God type of thing. Let me give you some pointers or things that I've thought of on go and pray. Here's the deal. Remember I talked about it, that Scripture makes it really clear. Jesus particularly talked about going into the closet to pray. And we're not talking here a 45-second prayer before everyone gets in their car and drives off some other place. We're talking a designated lengthy period of time to just really pray and give things to God. You got to make an appointment. You got to make an appointment. Do you have on your daily schedule or on your weekly schedule, you've got it built in several times so that it's almost daily? Do you have a time? This is a time to pray. When you get out of bed, say if you're a morning person, when you get out of bed as part of your morning routine, is there a time when you're going to go and be by yourself, alone with your Bible, and you're not just going to read, because that's so easy for me to just start reading and then do a 30-second prayer. I used to do that, and I'd read my Bible and then I'd pray. And what I found is I love reading my Bible and I'd pray for about 32 seconds. And now I pray. Of course, the challenge there is I'm hardly awake, and so I got to drink more coffee and all that stuff. But I pray, and then I read. That's what is working for me right now. I don't know what's going to work for you, but you got to get an appointment. Maybe you're saying morning. I can't do anything before 1 in the afternoon. Okay, 7 at night, 9 at night, 11 at night, whatever. Find a time where you've got it built into your schedule that, you know what, I'm just going to be alone over here in the closet. You know, if you want to do the war room thing and empty out a closet, that's great. We need to empty out some closets, but I'm not sure we're still going to devote them to prayer closets. But, you know, because we just need the space. But we found a place where, okay, I'm alone there and I'm praying. Do you have that? You should, because you'll never go and pray if you don't even have it on your schedule. I mean, it's like getting your teeth cleaned. I mean, who gets their teeth cleaned regularly if they don't have an appointment? When I get my teeth cleaned, the last thing she does is she says, okay, you know, 6 months from now, Wednesday at 10 o'clock, you know, July 4th or whatever day. I mean, it's an appointment. It's on my schedule. It's in my phone. They send me a postcard. It's an appointment. And guess what? I don't miss it because I have an appointment. If they just said, come back in 6 months or call us in 5 months and we'll get you on the schedule, I'd go 7 years without getting my teeth cleaned. It just doesn't happen. You've got to have that appointment. And I fully understand, particularly some of you younger moms that still have small kids. I mean, you don't have 3 minutes to even comb your hair, let alone do this. So it might be in your life, you're just really having to do the pray as you go for a short season. But eventually, you can make an appointment. You got to have a list. You got to have a list, and maybe you look at that list every week, or maybe you look at, or every day, or maybe you look at it weekly, or maybe you look at it monthly. I'm not real good at keeping the list, but I do have a list. And you know what was really cool? About 2 weeks ago, I hadn't looked at the list in, you know, 7-8 weeks, and I looked at it, and there were so many things that were answered, prayers that were answered. My son got a job that he wanted. This other situation that I was praying about worked out really well. And I'd been praying about it, but I hadn't looked at the list because they were kind of ingrained on my thing, and I was remembering them. A couple of the things, the situations have actually gotten worse, and I was like reminded, oh, I got to keep praying about that. But if you have it written down, hey, this is something I want to pray about, and you look at it daily, weekly, maybe every month, just so that you're keeping these things that are extra important on there. And then again, you know, just like in the pray as you go, you gotta have some accountability, and it's personal accountability. You know, we all talk about having accountability with someone else, and that's wonderful. Truth of the matter is, we can lie to one another, and a lot of times we do lie to one another. Yeah, I'm praying all the time. Well, the person that really needs to hold you accountable, besides God, is the person in the mirror. I mean, honestly, how long has it been since you, if you had that appointment with God, really devoted a good amount of time praying? And you'll probably notice I've been kind of vague. I mean, are you talking 5 minutes? Are you talking 7 minutes? Are you talking an hour? You know, that's between you and God. Because the truth of the matter is, what I find is when I start praying, it does expand. And I want to pray more. I have to kind of like, okay, let's land this ship so I can start reading the Bible. Or because it's time to, well, it used to be time to go exercise. I guess now it's time to exercise too. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to hold yourself accountable. Just be honest with yourself. Scripture said, first of all, pray. So therefore, men, pray. Likewise, women, pray. Are you praying? Are you praying? You know, I thought it would be very appropriate for us today, in light of this, just to spend some time just kind of wrapping our service up with a time of prayer. And, yeah, if you want to, you can get on your knees. If you want to, you can just stay right where you are. Getting on your knees isn't for everyone. Sometimes your knees just don't cooperate. But I want us to take the last little bit of our time together and pray. And I'm going to pray here in a minute. And then if you want to pray, if God's leading you to pray out loud, pray. You can just stand up or just at least pick your voice up so that we can hear you and pray with you. And we're just going to pray. We're going to spend some time praying. You know, say, well, what are we going to pray about? Well, look at if you look in the bulletin, there's a little prayer list there. It gives you some ideas. I mean, this passage told us to pray for kings and those in authority. I mean, pray for our president. Pray for the people that are in charge of our military, trying to figure out how to handle the stuff that's going on there. I mean, pray for the people of Iowa tomorrow night. I mean, they're going to be starting this process by which we're going to pick a leader for the next 4 years. And a lot's going to happen tomorrow night. You know, there's going to be a direction that we're going to go. And they need a lot of prayer to make a wise and godly choice. So let's pray together. I'll start. I'll close us. But if you feel led to pray out loud, please pray out and pray loud enough so that we can hear you. But let's pray together, okay? Father, I thank you for just the truth of Scripture that tells us what ought to be our priority. And Father, I first of all just I confess our neglect. We talk a lot more about prayer than we really do pray. I pray, Father, that we would be people who would make great petitions to you, and they would be accompanied by great thankfulness for what you've done. We have lots of needs, Father, among us, and we pray that you would meet those needs, each one of them.